Thanks for downloading this episode of the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. The best place to watch all your favorite sports. Featuring wall-to-wall viewing screens, six windows, and 30 kiosks. Be there at emeraldqueen.com.
Coming up at 4:30, everybody, John Curley, Sherry Ellicker Show. Democratic candidate Mark Mullett will join us. We'll ask him what he thinks of what happened over the weekend in Spokane regarding the Republican Party. Got some good questions from Mark. And I'm going to dive into the news, but I know you're going to play that tinfoil hat song with this first story. Hang on a second. Diving in the news! Oh, no. Here it comes. This is not because tinfoil. No! No! This is a legitimate concern. Sure, is this tinfoil hat stuff? When I say that we do the story on the 702 that got passed over the weekend?
Yes. Huh? A little bit, yes.
Really?
Yeah, I think sometimes these things are blown so far out of proportion, and the scenarios that are presented with this type of stuff tend to be ludicrous, and that really we're giving way too much credit to the intelligence community, because I don't think that people are at much risk as they think they are, unless there's some reason to feel, you know, like you're being targeted or you do something suspicious. I just don't think they have the manpower, the bandwidth, or the interest in spying on people that they haven't. Go ahead.
So the 702 was the idea that the U.S. government, without a warrant, can spy and listen in on foreigners' communication. Right. But we know that they also use this and they gather up information. They can gather up a whole bunch of data on Americans as well. We know that the FBI, we know the National NSA have spied on Americans. We also know that the FBI lied to the FISA court to spy on Trump's people. This is all proven, understood. Yes. So if you trust the government and you believe that they will only have their best intention and they will never do anything to spy on any of us, then you can be, you know, have this blind sort of loyalty, which apparently you have, Sherry. I tend to not trust the government. I don't think that they necessarily have our best interests. I think there's a power play always in effect, and they will do whatever they can in order to make sure they keep the power. And if they can spy on you, they will. So when... And Wyden from Oregon, a Democrat that's been in for the longest time on the Foreign Relations Committee, he had a big problem with this because they added something to this. Here's what they added to this bill that passed into law, and Trump or Biden will sign it. So they add this one little provision in there. It says, it turns out there was a provision that was will essentially allow it, the government, to compel pretty much anybody to become an involuntary cooperator in the job of turning information to the government. So this scenario that you seem to have a problem with this. So that means if somebody goes into your house and they're there working for some cable company or something, and let's say before they go into the house, the NSA or the FBI tells that person, get information from that person's computer. You're not allowed, as the person who's going in hired as a cable guy or whatever, you're not allowed to tell the customer that you're doing it, but you have been, in effect, forced to spy. The headline was, now everybody is a spy. Now you're forced to gather this information. And if you don't, if you tell the customer, you're in a lot of trouble, and you have to go ahead and get the information. This is the slow erosion of the trust between citizens when all of a sudden anybody can spy. You could go to East Germany and the Stasi, where neighbors were spying on neighbors and turning neighbors in all the time. This just opens the door. Whether they'll abuse it or not, I don't know, but they stuck that in there saying, oh, you can gather up whatever information. If we need to go get it, we can go get it. And we'll ask anybody else to go to get the information if we need them to do it. That's in there, right?
Right.
But you believe that they will never ask the cable guy or anybody else that's going into the person's home to go ahead and get the information.
I would say it's highly unlikely. If they really suspect someone of terrorism or whatever it is, they're not going to send the cable guy in to get information. They're going to send one of their people in to get information. So this
but
idea.
How would you describe terrorism? But if you also if you broaden the definition of terrorism out, right? Domestic terrorists, right? Those are the parents that go to the school board meetings and, you know, yell and scream and then get dragged out and arrested. That's domestic terrorism, where you knew that the FBI was spying on Catholics and churches and stuff like that. So you keep broadening out the definition of threats against democracy. So those are the people that are terrorists. So that just
well, I think that's too
past behavior about we've seen.
Yeah, we're talking about two different things here. The fact that they targeted people versus the concept that a maintenance worker of some sort is going to be doing the spying. Is it possible? Yes, I guess theoretically it would be that, yes, somebody could come into your home to gather information as a employee of a communications company. However, I don't think that's the way things really operate. I think if they truly suspect something, they're not going to trust somebody without a security clearance to go in there and get something. They will go themselves. Okay. That's why I think it's a little tinfoil hatty.
Hattie, okay. So Sean Witka, who has been following this for a while, this is a discussion between Bob Gulati, a former chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and then the PPSA senior political advisor, this is Sean Witka, with a senior policy counsel demand progress. So discussing how the government gathers up your data.
It turns out that data brokers, you know, nobody's favorite industry, have a side hustle that is just extracting information from Facebook, from Google, from any given website potentially, and selling that information to the government. And it turned, you know, I think most people wouldn't have thought this could be legal. But it turns out that there's a loophole where Facebook couldn't sell this or give this information to the government. If they give it to a data broker, a third party on its way to the government, apparently that's fair game as far as those actors in the government has concluded. And on the flip side, the government has concluded that as long as they're buying it, instead of seizing it in an extremely narrow sense of the word, that it's not a Fourth Amendment event. But really importantly, this isn't, you know, once this happened, we're talking about an unknown but clearly extremely large volume of information affecting an unknown but extremely large number of Americans. And so, you know, we went from 10 years ago to, you know, the government is clearly abusing the Patriot Act. I don't think there was anybody who really seriously thought that the bulk telephone metadata program could stand up as legal. Two courts held that it was illegal and strongly suggested it was unconstitutional. Fast forward 9 years and basically the government's saying, well, it doesn't count if we're buying it.
Isn't that strange? Plus, we know that they did it, right? All the people that went down there and protesting during January 6th, we know that the government then went ahead and said to the banks, tell us who is in this area. Tell us what they purchased, where they purchased it, and let us know if they bought MAGA hats or they bought ammunition, if they bought a book, if they bought a Bible. So then the banks said, oh, okay, fine. Here's all the information. Did the NSA, did the FBI have warrants in order? No, they didn't. They had to just ask the banks, and the banks turned the information over. That our founding fathers never expected this type of information to be available floating around in the cloud, because now they can go up into the cloud and go get it. Once it's up there, it's not yours. It's in the cloud, so they gather all the data. But again, I hope you're right. I don't necessarily. They don't give me any reason to believe that they wouldn't follow data and track data on stuff.
I think that,
for instance, in Canada, right, during the truckers thing. So during the protests of the truckers there in Ottawa, the Canadian government, Macron, called the banks and said, anybody that donates any money to these truckers, close their account. Don't let them have access to it. And the stories of, like, a woman gives $5 so this guy can have diesel for his truck so that he could have heat so he could be in his truck while they're protesting. She goes to the bank a couple days later, puts the ATM, goes hit the thing. It's closed. They close the bank. They close her account. Because the government could in that regard. So the power and the abuse of all of it in one place, we already know that Biden used the social media places in order to stop people. We know that they spy on you. It's just like now this is just one more thing. They're including everybody else can be a spy. And they sort of pull you in that you're going to do this. You have to. It says the law. We want to get it from you. You're not allowed to tell anybody. Okay, go ahead. Anybody? I know you just can't wait to play the tinfoil hat song again.
Well, I think the biggest concern that people are saying, and I follow Edward Snowden, who's, you know, tin hat or not, he's obviously has some experience in this regard. And his headline is, look, if a really, really, really bad, you know, malevolent administration comes in, he's not saying the Biden administration is that, or even that the Trump administration is or was that. But if a really bad administration gets in there, they're going to have access to all this and they're going to abuse it. And that's the concern.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm glad we're trusting Edward Snowden, who is one of the biggest destroyers.
But he understands. But he was, yes, Sherry, but he was one of the guys that said, listen, they're gathering up all this data. And the NSA, oh, no, we're not. And then they found it. They knew when they brought them to testify, they lied. James Brenner lied. Jim Brenner lied about, oh, no, we're not collecting data on American citizens. The hell they weren't. They caught him with it. And they even said, when you say collect, they are able to follow you. And your phones give everything away. They know exactly where you are. They know where you're going. I was talking to a guy from New Zealand today. And I said, I was amazed that the Kiwis allowed it to happen, what they did. So if you wanted to go to the store during the whole COVID thing, you had a text, I'm going to go to the store. They would say, okay, your store is exactly what do you need to get? Oh, I need to get a couple of things. Okay, it's going to take you 10 minutes up and back. And if you're not back, we're going to know where you are because you're on your phone. If you're not back at that time, we're going to come get you and arrest you, or you're going to be fined or something. So people would race to the store, get the milks and eggs and everything, and then run back to their house and hide there. So the government was tracking everybody and everybody where they were going, coming in and arresting people. It's just, we're not far from that. And the fact that they can come in and get your data for whatever reason they want to get your data and see that you're talking to this person or that person. I think it's scary times. Again, all right. Oh, I know. Oh, here it comes. All right. All right.
Well,
how's my hat look, Sherry?
It looks good. I like it. I like it with the beard.
Okay.
Right. Kind of all coordinates.
Okay. Okay, fine. All right, fine. I hope I'm wrong.
I think New Zealand and Canada have a different system of government than we do, and therefore they don't have the kinds of protections that we do. I don't see the United States being able, with all of the people watching and waiting for something like that, I just don't see them attempting to do something as egregious as getting into bank accounts and things like that. But, I mean, yes, do they spy? Of course they do. And do they spy sometimes on regular citizens? Absolutely. And people
isn't it
are
odd that just before Matt Taibbi was supposed to speak, IRS agents showed up at his house?
Oh, no. I'm not denying any of that. I'm not denying
any
of that.
Is that not a form of intimidation?
Of course. Of course. That's
yes,
not
of
my
course.
Point. My point is that sometimes
yes.
we take these things to an extreme, and it really is it's highly unlikely that anything like that would happen. Like you send the telephone repairman or somebody in who's really, if you do, it's going to be an agent. It's going to be a CIA agent. It's going to be an FBI agent, because they're not going to trust that kind of information gathering to a regular cable guy. It's just not going to happen. So that's why I say, but that's the only thing. Otherwise, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think people have been targeted and have been abused by government surveillance.
Right.
It's the other.
But 2 weeks ago, we had the story of the woman. She put something up on Facebook, and then FBI agents came to her house. And she said, What are you doing here? Oh, we just want to talk to you. Well, what did I put? I forget what she put up on Facebook. But there they were, two agents standing at her door. She wanted to see their badges. She wanted to get a picture of their badges. They wouldn't let her do that. And then she was, what did I put on there? Well, we just want to just talk to you about some of the things you placed on Facebook.
She was a pro-Palestinian protester.
Right.
So
and she was very radical, and she probably...
And it is her First Amendment right. It is her First Amendment right to say what she wants to say. Now, if she says it in the context of a university, right? A private university, she could be fired for that.
Mm-hmm.
A public university, no, because that's government. So it's the First Amendment is to protect our speech from the government. The government cannot stop us from saying things. And as they broaden these terms out, well, that's hate speech. Now we're going into Scotland. We're going to get arrested in Scotland for saying something offends someone. There is no such thing, and there is no protection in the United States Constitution to define hate speech. There isn't. But it keeps broadening out. Same thing that Bob Ferguson wanted to pass with that House bill that got shot down, where they would follow you, see what you're saying, and then bring you in. And then they would have holistic sort of care for you to help you so that you don't get radicalized. And he was all for that. They would just sort of, and they had a commission. Remember, they had a committee of like 14
sure.
or 13 people.
It's ridiculous.
That we're all represented, you know, the oppressed minority. They would be all the sort of sitting there, judge and jury. Is anybody here offended by that? I am. Okay, bring them in for some re-education.
Yeah, no, that's outrageous. But as far as the data
stuff.
That
was the House bill. Yes.
Yeah, but as far as the information with the data stuff, they sell, Facebook and everything sells it to these third parties. Well, they do that for advertisers. They do that with everybody. Everybody's buying that information. So the government,
yes.
You can't say the government can't do it because it's the same basic principle. They're getting that information.
But just see the loophole around it. The government can't get it, but the government can buy it. They knew they weren't allowed to get it
yes.
without a warrant. But then they wrote it in there. Well, if we buy it, that's different. They just wrote it how they wanted it so that they could get the rules to work in their favor. So,
right, but the concept that somehow this information is being protected is not true. Companies are buying it. Lots of research places are buying it. Everybody's buying it. So it's already the horse is out of the barn.
But not personal emails that you have. That's the thing. If you're writing to somebody something, if you have something on your file of your computer, I'm just telling you, they added it in there that they use the word custodian, that somebody who's anyone who's interacting with any device that may have data can be included in the gathering of that data and working for NSA or FBI to get it. And they're not allowed to tell anybody, and they're in trouble if they do. But hey, again, we just hope it's just tin hat stuff. All right, Mark Mullett, your Democratic candidate for governor. I'm going to ask him what he thinks, how he's doing, if he's raising money, and what he thinks happened over in Spokane the weekend with the Republican Party, if he thinks it's good or bad.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine. These are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Check out the Box Yard across from T-Mobile Park featuring Hatback Bar and Grill, Steelheads Alley, and Victory Hall. The Box Yard is Soto's premier pre- and post-game destination with delicious bites and brews. For more info, visit mariners.com/boxyard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Bucky's Auto Service Centers with 16 locations. Sherry, take that car to Bucky's. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Been around since, 54 years. That's a good long time. We were going to have Mark Mullet on because my buddy, Sean, said, hey, I saw Mark Mullet at a fundraiser in Roslyn. And I took him aside, my friend Sean said. And I said, so how are you going to win this thing? So I thought, let's get Mullet on. And then he's in the Seattle Times today, so it all works out.
New York Mark Times, Mullet. By the way.
Oh, big time. All right. Mark Mullet, my buddy, welcome to the show. First of all, let's talk about the deepfake story that was in the Times and in the New York Times as well. It involved your daughter?
Well, thanks for having me on, by the way. Sure. I'm always happy to come on the show. I love the show.
I know.
And so Issaquah High School, my daughter is a freshman in her homecoming dance last September. Like, one of the boys brought a camera, took pictures of the girls, and then used the AI technology to basically make them look like they were naked, and then he spread it around the school. And so that was, and we realized when it happened that our revenge porn laws are clear if it's an actual image, but it wasn't clear that there was any laws broken because the images were fabricated. So the bill we passed fixed that. So that was, and our hope is that hopefully we'll get federal legislation that clears that. So all 50 states make it clear that, using AI to, spread revenge porn, even if you're altering the image to be fake, is not allowed. And our hope is by states like us passing it, that hopefully the federal government will take action at some point in the near future and do it as well.
Yeah, you've got six kids. How did your wife Kelly and you deal with your daughter's trauma with something like this? What did you say, and how did she handle it?
Well, we had the advantage. She was not exposed, so Caroline was not exposed. Her friends that were exposed didn't feel comfortable testifying in Olympia in support of the bill. And so I just asked Caroline. I said, "Well, I get why your friends don't want to, because they don't want to highlight what happened to them." But I said, "Are you willing to at least talk about what happened?" And she's like, yeah, so to be honest, we have six kids. None of my kids have ever testified on a bill in Olympia before, so this is the first time it ever happened. And I don't know, it's kind of a proud dad moment. Like, I didn't write what she said, because I think it's horrible when you're in Olympia. You can tell when an adult has written the testimony for the student, and it doesn't really come off as powerful. It's better just let the students write their own testimony. It seems a lot more heartfelt, and I think that's why she was effective. Yeah.
One of the things I was wondering about is, why is this not child pornography? Because there are laws on the books about child pornography. Is it because it's not, I mean, it's fake?
Because it's a fabricated image. So that's why, but we fixed that now. So, it's just the fabricated image part that made it so it wasn't. But like I said, now it's both criminal and civil penalties from that. And so we're in a much better spot now that the bill is passed.
Hey, I want to get your reaction to what happened in Spokane. The Republican Party, for the first time, decided they were going to have a big convention. They were going to nominate their candidates, and then those were going to be the candidates moving forward. So they weren't sort of, cannibalizing each other like Joe's pork uncle. And they, would be ready to go as they head into the primary. And then the whole thing kind of fell apart. Simi Bird got in there, and they had problems with all that. So as you watched that or heard about it, you think, ooh, this is good for Mark Mullet, Democratic candidate for governor in the state of Washington. Did you think like, this gives me some positioning, or how did you respond?
Yeah, I mean, and I've been saying it, folks, since we started the campaign last summer, I think my theme has been there is a split on the Republican Party between the people who support the Trump candidates and the people who aren't into the Trump candidates. And everyone kept telling me I was nuts. So like, Mark, you're nuts. Like, all the Republicans are just going to support Dave Reichert. And I said, no, you guys aren't talking. Like, I'm traveling around the state. I'm talking to people. I said, we did 100 campaign events last year. Every event we did was a mix of Democrats and Republicans. It was a mix. And I think just being on the ground all around the state, it was very clear to me that there is a split in the Republican Party between the Trump wing and the non-Trump wing. And that split basically played out for everyone to see at the convention. And like you said, this is our campaign has been betting on this, to be honest, because our path out of the primary is when you have a split of the Republican vote, that creates a path to actually have, you know, a moderate Democrat who's endorsed by the law enforcement community get out of the primary in the top two.
Right. Because it's top two. So it doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, just top two. So Bob Ferguson's likability polls at about 42%. People don't.
Wow, that's just something higher than I would have guessed. Man, where are those 40% of the people at?
So how do you, because it is, you know, unfortunately.
You might have stacked that poll.
I did not. I got that from somebody I'm not allowed to say. But Mark, here's the money is the mother's milk. And you know the numbers. He's got 6 million. You've got a million something or other. And my buddy that was at your fundraiser that gave you money on Roslyn, in Roslyn, said, you know, we got to give this guy more money. And when he took you aside and you explained to him your path forward, that you really believe that you can get in there if the split in the Republican Party, it slides in there for you. And then you're going to just do a very, very clear demonstration. This is what Bob Ferguson's for, and this is what I'm for. So you've got to get that message out there.
And so I know, and it is public knowledge, but this was filed with the Seattle media market today that there is a buy supporting our campaign that's going to start tomorrow doing exactly just that is what we hope. I don't know what it is because we're not in control of it because it's coming from a coalition of groups supporting our campaign. But that's our hope is as that starts, which is, it's unusual for that to start this early, but I do think people realize this is the importance of the race. Like our state has to shift in a more thoughtful, reasonable direction. It has to happen. And the only way that's going to happen is getting a moderate Democrat out of the primary who's actually been willing to, you know, stand up against unnecessary tax increases, who acknowledges the importance of the state being a better financial partner with cities and counties so we can make progress on public safety. I mean, the public safety status quo, not acceptable. And so this is our hope is the combination of our own campaign plus these other groups that understand the importance of the race, we're all going to start educating voters. And I think when voters learn what their options are, that's where we're optimistic is, you know, Bob Ferguson wanted to decriminalize drugs. He, in 2021, the person I was fighting and whether or not drugs would be illegal in the state of Washington was Attorney General Bob Ferguson. So I think when voters realize that he was the one that thought, you know, meth and heroin and fentanyl, people should be able to have small amounts of that and use them in public and not have any repercussions. They're going to be like, I don't agree with that. And so I may not have heard of Mark before, but now that I have, I know I agree with him. And so I think that's our hope as this campaign moves forward. Voter education is going to work in our favor, not Bob's favor.
Do you have a debate planned?
I have asked. We have asked. The Seattle City Club reached out to the candidates and they said, will you debate? I responded the day they sent an email and said, 100% yes.
Yeah.
Bob Ferguson responded to the exact same email from Seattle City Club and said, 100% no. I will not debate Mark Mullett. And so,
wow.
I mean, that's just, is that really what we want in the governor? Someone who's afraid to get into a room and have a public policy discussion about people who might not agree with him?
That speaks volumes about you and him as well, you know. But again, if you're in the lead like that, you don't take any chances. And he probably just wants to play it safe and doesn't want to make anything public. But, you know, Bob Ferguson is a smart guy. He's like the evil twin of Rob McKenna. so he's, that's the problem. But
how would he feel if he heard you say that? I don't know.
It's all right. I've said that to him before. But Mark Mullett, the Republicans have not had a governor since everybody was singing Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go in 1985. So, I mean.
Hey, that was a good Wham. That Wham was a good band, by the way. That was a good song.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, here we go. Now, Mark Mullett now just, you know, currying favor with any Wham fan. That's going to be the headline of this takeaway. All right. Hey, Mullett, we'll let you get back out on the trail. We'll be in touch. And it's a shame that Bob Ferguson won't debate you. We'll continue to harp on that. The best of the family. And get back out there, Mark Mullett.
Isn't there someone in the studio that can play a little Wham right now? You're supposed to go into the Wham song.
Okay, there you go. Mark Mullett. Thanks for your request, calling in. That was Mark Mullett. Wants a from Issaquah. I want you to a little bit of Wham. Here you go, Mark.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine. These are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Finally, the airline industry realizes maybe we should just not have somebody scream at somebody sitting behind somebody by just making a very simple change. Right, Sherry?
Yes, there is a movement afoot to try to get people, to get planes to have smaller seats, okay, or at least lighter seats. So the way they can do this and make more room is to put in seats that just do not recline.
I see. Let's face it, you don't really get that much relief
right.
when it
That's
goes
what
from
I was
like
thinking.
There to like to two there. Back.
I know. Right.
It's like, oh, now I can sleep.
Yeah.
And deep sleep.
They say there's some etiquette that you should follow. If you are trying to recline your seat, you're supposed to look back. If somebody's tray table is out, don't recline because it's going to bump into it.
Right.
If they've got their computer on the tray table, it could be a problem. But Delta, United, American, Southwest, they are cutting back on the number of inches that it can recline. So I'm thinking from what, 1 inch to what, zero inches? I mean, you really don't go back far enough to be particularly relaxed.
I guess it's a matter of perspective. So maybe they should have the seats leaning slightly forward when you first sit down. So you're kind of hunched over to the front, right?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God, I feel like I'm leaning forward. And then you press the button and then it takes you just back to where the normal spot would be, like, oh, right there, right? So if you're like uncomfortable and then just a little less uncomfortable by, you know, straight up and down, as opposed to that slight just bend back there. The problem I have is, so I've got the, always sit window so I can sleep, so I can close my shade, but then there's the one that's kind of like in between me and the other guy, you know, and it's coming in there and it, right in my eyes. So I always reach back and kind of twist my arm back there and go, slide it down. It's like, oof. It's kind of in my spot, sort of in his spot. It's between the two spots. Do you fold that one down or do you let the other guy decide?
Yeah, I wouldn't be that bold because I don't think that I would feel right closing it. But there should be some etiquette rules about that too, because you do try to sleep on the plane just to be able to get through it. And then when all that light comes in, or if somebody's got that stupid overhead light, I can't stand that.
It's in the morning the other day, flying back at 5 in the morning from New York, and the lady to the right, window wide open, sun's just coming up, right through the window, right into my retina. And I'm like, does it need to be open? Really? Do you have to have it open? I guess you didn't realize it was open or something. And then it's on the screen. She can't read. There's a closed little window. It's okay. But I do like to look back there and just close it down just to the left of me. And if the guy slides it back up, I'm all right, fine, you win. I'm not going to get into a back and forth on it. So, all right.
Well,
good news. People will stop fighting over the seat reclining.
Yes, that's good news. And the airlines will have, I don't know, maybe 4 extra inches in the entire plane to work with.
To put another person in there.
Yes, right.
You've always said the most comfortable seat is the bathroom. Nobody ever bothers you. Get in there. Just take up as much time as you want.
Got a lot of room in there. Yeah.
That's right. You bring a big bag of food in there. Just sit in there and eat. I've seen Sherry do it.